Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. We're live here Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You just call in at 516-387-1733, and we'll get you on here, and we'll talk about trucking and then some. That's what we talk about, and we go over a lot of few things. First, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is the Load-to-Ride Transportation, great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and these guys got, you know, they got all the freight that they can muster. They're looking for drivers. So if you want to give them a holler, you can look them up at ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a holler at 720-277-0030. Again, they're based out of Denver, Colorado. It's a great little outfit, and their website's really good looking. They got a lot of good points, and you know, they got all the good logistics services. They offer the warehousing, and they do the expedited. They got hazmat certification, temperature control, all that good stuff. So you know, if you're out there in that area and you're looking to move some freight, they even go OTR. You know, they got a lot of stuff running across country and everything, and of course they do LTL as well, and they also, you know, handle the ports and everything. So give them a holler, ltrtransportation.com, and we appreciate their support. A couple of the things I wanted to dive into, and that was California, their ag cops out there, and I don't know if there's the fruit Nazis or what. They might be the fruit Nazis, the ones that we always make fun of, but they busted a guy out there stealing fuel from the farmers and then selling it to the big truckers. And of course, if you're a trucker out there and you're buying farmer fuel, which is the red dye fuel, then, you know, just being you being caught with that fuel doesn't even matter if you bought it, that it was stolen or not. Having it in your truck's illegal, so we'll dive into that a little bit. And then there was it says only a change in mindset will fix the driver shortage, industry experts claim. And of course, you know, all these people that supposedly know how to fix problems are talking about the driver shortage. And then there was this one article I saw out of Chicago, and it says that a trucker was found crushed between his truck and trailer. And I didn't know for sure. I looked at it a little bit ago, and there wasn't really any specifics on that, but we'll talk about that a little bit too. And we do, you know, taking your calls, do everything you got, and see what's going on out there in the trucking world, and just, you know, talk about life on the road in general. So anything like that you want to holler at, just go ahead and let me know. Like I said, 516-387-1733. And check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us every day. So just hang on tight, and this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, I gotta keep it rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way. Coming on to me, tried to talk me into a ride, said I wouldn't be sorry. Oh, but she was just a baby. Hey, waitress, pour me another cup of coffee, pop it down, jack me up, shoot me out, flying down the highway. I'm looking for the morning. Ooh, I'm driving my life away. I'm looking for a better way for me.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being a supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Tied with a leather fist, watch out when he starts to twist. It's what the daddies used to tell them boys, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4 buddy, come on back, a horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio, don't want to think about a rodeo, don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit, oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys, let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville, chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
Live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can call in at 516-387-1733. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight. And we're just talking about life on the road in general, see what's going on. And if anybody doesn't know, you can check us out at redneckandice.com. We're just a small little outfit of truckers who try to get together and have a good time at the truck shows. And, you know, we really wasn't anything bigger than that, just showing up at the parking lot, cooking food for the truckers, and hanging out there, doing a lot of fun there and all that. And then, of course, you know, COVID hit, shut all the truck shows down. I said, well, what can we do to, you know, get notoriety or any kind of attention or anything like that out there? So we decided we were going to get on the internet a little more often and And thanks to the Unplugged Radio Network, here they allowed us to get on here and broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, where you can call in and we can just do a little live radio show. And, of course, we record these shows, and we try to put them on YouTube. And of course, we're on Facebook Live and all that good stuff like that. So you can go check us out, and just trying to share the good knowledge of the trucking industry and keep up to date with what's going on out there on the road and see how all the drivers are out there doing, make sure everybody's doing okay. Like I said, we try to get out there where we can do the truck shows again. And so far, the truck shows are still planning on happening. We've got the big one, which we know we're going to be able to get to, is the Mid-America Trucking Show, and that's going to be in March. And there's a couple others out there that have been having some others. I think the Guilty by Association Truck Show was this last weekend. None of us could make it out there, but a lot of other people were. It was all over the internet. If you hadn't seen, and it was really cool to see stuff out there happening again like that. So we got to get out there and just, you know, try to mingle up with all the other truckers. You know, that's how truckers sometimes just, you know, keep it real and try to pick themselves up and get out on the road and just make things, you know, better for themselves, is to get out there and talk to other truckers. You know, when you're in that truck all by yourself, a lot of times you don't, you know, you might get on the radio a little bit, but there's more negativity on the radio, and especially on the internet, than there is positivity. And the cool thing about the truck show is a lot of good positive stuff going on there. So it's a lot of, we look forward to it, and it's a lot of fun. So, but here we're just trying to, you know, stay up to date and try to keep drivers apprised of what's going on out there, and see if anybody can learn anything from it or make themselves better from it, or just educate themselves on things going on. You know, we were talking about the safety blitz inspections that were happening this last year, and they've already announced they're happening again this year. And then, you know, we dive in a little bit of like accidents and why they happen, and whether or not the driver is going to be held liable and stuff like that, changing in laws in certain states and everything. So we just try to dive into stuff like that, and we hope everybody has a great time listening along and following along. And of course, you can always call in, like I said, 516-387-1733, or you can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. And we got a link to our YouTube channel, which is where we record these shows and put them out there for everybody to see. And you can just follow, you can comment, you can share, do all kinds of things on there. And we really appreciate everybody's feedback on that. And like I said, just call in, be part of the show, 516-387-1733. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we also like to thank, you know, we got sponsors as well. The sponsors said, hey, what can we do to help you in your parking lot with your food? You know, the food costs money. Setting up a tent costs money. We got generators to provide electricity for ourselves. We even provide some type of like bathroom facilities near our area. So that kind of thing. We always try to keep things, you know, nice and simple for our area. We even had heaters. When the weather got cold, we put heat up in our tent to make it warmer. So that was a lot of fun. Everybody had a great time. And of course, all that costs money. So we reach out to people for donations, and we also reach out to sponsors. And one of the great sponsors that we had the privilege of being able to hook up with is DPF Regeneration. And those guys out there, they have been just, you know, supporting us from the very beginning. And if anybody knows them, they're a great bunch of people out there, and they're based out of Connecticut. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. You know, what they do is they sell the parts that you need for all of your emissions problems that you might be having. Or they can also, you ship them the filter, and they can clean it and then ship it right back to you. And it's kind of like an overnight process that they do. So it's really cool. They got good machinery. They always keep their stuff up to date. And, you know, sometimes when you're out there, if you're out on the road, or if you're out there, like, even just getting by the house, you don't really know of anybody that can clean that stuff. And those shops, those maintenance facilities, you know, they're good people and all that, but they just don't have time to keep up with their equipment to keep it clean. And the problem is, you need clean filters. And when you want a filter to get cleaned, you can't be cleaning it with a dirty machine. So these people here, they keep their stuff clean, and it's all, you know, they've got great videos and photography that they go in there and they show everybody what their stuff is, and it looks really good. They always keep it up to date and everything. But it's all the EGR coolers, the catalyst mufflers, the SCR units, all of those particulate filters that you need, those kind of stuff you need to get that, keep that service, keep that clean. And DPF Regeneration is the place to get it. So DPFregeneration.com, or 800-634-3010. So one of the things I noticed on the news when I just kind of like check out the news, see what's going on out there. And the one thing that I did notice was that there was a report out of California. Someone got busted, and they call it the California Ag Cops. I think we always call those guys the fruit Nazis. But the California Ag Cops catch a man accused of stealing fuel from farmers and selling red dye diesel to truckers. And this is on CDLlife.com. Now, at first, I was like, you know, you're not going to get much information on CDL. They're just kind of a, like, you know, touch the base, you know, get short articles and all that just to get you to look through the ads is what they want you. But this said pretty good in depth, and it came out to be pretty serious. But it was agricultural detectives in California arrested and charged a man on a variety of charges following an investigation into diesel fuel theft scheme. It says on Wednesday, the Ag Task Force of the Fresno County Sheriff's Office arrested 38-year-old Juan Martinez, Barras, following an investigation into reports from farmers of diesel fuel theft. He was charged with grand theft, evading police, illegal possession of a firearm, possession of armor-piercing ammunition, driving on a suspended license for DUI and probation violations. He says also had active warrants for domestic battery. So, yeah, not a good guy. Right, it says police began investigating after farmers complained of diesel fuel theft in western Fresno County in August and September. It says they also learned that the suspected fuel theft may have been driving a pickup truck or riding a quad, or possibly carrying an AR-15 during the thefts. On Wednesday morning, the officers were conducting surveillance at W. Phelps and S. El Dorado Avenues in Coalinga, where they spotted a pickup matching the suspect's description and of the vehicle. It says the pickup driver fled when officers attempted the traffic stop. The pickup was soon found abandoned. It says they called the air support unit, drone unit, and canine unit, and were able to locate the suspect hiding under trees in a dry riverbed. It says after searching the vehicle, they discovered AR-15 without the serial number. It says detectives determined that he would steal plastic containers from farmers and either haul them in a pickup truck or tow them from behind on an ATV. He says he would fill them with diesel fuel by siphoning them out of the farmer's equipment and storage tanks. Additionally, he would paint the containers black to conceal the red dye diesel from being seen as passing motorists. Red dye diesel specifically for off-road vehicles. We know that. He says such as farming equipment. He says, and it can be purchased at a lower price due to not being taxed. We all know all this stuff. It says he would turn around and sell the stolen diesel to truckers at about half the price he would pay at a fuel station. It is worth noting that these truckers were breaking the law as well, Fresno County Sheriff said. My thing is I'm not sure if the truckers knew. You know, that the truckers, if you got a guy selling you gas, come on, all right? There's got to be something fishy about that. Don't, you know, of course, you know, we all know in the trucking industry that there's probably truckers out there that, you know, they do shady stuff anyway. So, you know, finding a guy that they can buy diesel at a half the price, which, you know, the funny thing is that if they're in California buying diesel for half the price it is at the pump, then they're really not paying much less than the people out there paying regular price out in other states. You know, they're not getting it that much cheaper. They just drive out of California. So these are probably just guys that stay around in California, all that kind of stuff. So, but they probably didn't know, you know, or weren't aware. Most truck drivers don't even know that there's such a thing as the diesel that's not allowed to be put in the big trucks. But you know, that's just how things go out there. The funny thing I saw at the end of this is that it says investigation learned that he had been stealing about 800 gallons of diesel a week for the past 6 months, a stolen diesel valued at $60,000. So it says the stolen diesel is valued at around $60,000, 800 gallons a week for the past 6 months. That's a lot of money. That's more than 60,000. I don't know. But then it says bail was set at 185,000. That's it. Okay. And the funny thing is that he's probably going to go to jail longer for possessing the firearm in California than he is probably from stealing the diesel, you know, because in California, all he has to do is say, oh yeah, I'm just a poor old guy trying to make it. And these guys, the government's taking all my money, and they'll be lenient on him for stealing the diesel. They don't care about that. You know, what they care about is that he stole it and he's selling to people that were buying it for not paying a tax, because that's basically what the red dye diesel is, if people don't know. So the red dye diesel is tax exempt, which means that there's no tax being paid for the diesel purchase per gallon. When you go to the pump, there is a state tax per gallon. There is a federal tax per gallon. They put the red dye so that they can identify whether or not you bought it tax-free or not. And so when they put the dye in it and you put it in your farm vehicle, which means it's for off-road use only. It's not so that vehicle is not cannot be legally moved down the down the highway. Now, some drivers will tell you that they'll buy the red diesel if they have a separate tank that's only for your APU, or if you have a generator. If you have a generator, you can buy a diesel power generator, you can buy the red dye diesel for that generator. Most places don't sell it in regular cities or whatever. You have to go out there where there's like farm equipment and there might be a place. Some states you can only get it wholesale, or you can't even buy it at a pump. You have to go buy it from like an actual co-op, you know, place that sells, you know, farm agricultural supplies and all that. It's tax exempt. So if you put it in that truck going down the highway, then you're definitely going to be fined for doing that. And I don't know if you guys seen it. Like I said, most truckers haven't been, you know, I'll tell you what, when I first started driving, that was back in the 90s, I remember getting stopped. And when they do an inspection, especially a DOT inspection, like a level one inspection in California, one of the things they do is they take a small hose or stick that it's like a straw. They'll stick it down in the tank all the way down. And then they'll pull the gas out, or they'll pull the diesel out where they can see it. And as long as it's not red, then everything's okay. But if they see the red, then they know you bought that diesel tax-free. So that's how they know. I don't see people hardly doing that anymore. I'm not real sure if it's that big of a concern. I know it is in California, because if you're not paying taxes in California, they're coming after you. So we know that. But that, you know, that's the kind of thing that's happened out there where truck drivers out there, sometimes I don't know if they know that or not, you know. It's not as common as it used to be. You could be out on Interstate 80, you can be on Interstate 70 out there in the middle of nowhere in Kansas or in Nebraska, Iowa, parts of Iowa, even Illinois, and Indiana, places like that, and you'd stop at a truck stop. They would have at the pump, they would have two different hoses. One would be tax exempt, one would be non-exempt, and they would have it as off-road or on-road, and you would see that. And they don't hardly do that anymore. A lot of places, they don't want to fool with it, you know, because they know that, you know, there's not that much out there. I think most farmers will tell you, if you ask a lot of farmers out there, they don't really go to the actual fuel stations. They have storage tanks, and they get it delivered by, you know, somebody will come out there with a tanker truck and fill up their storage tanks, or they have a tank in their pickup truck. You see that. If you see a pickup truck and it has like a big fuel tank in the back, it's like a steel square tank that's sitting in the back there, you think, oh, he's got an extra fuel tank so he can drive longer. Maybe. But sometimes you see they've got an actual pump and a hose hooked to it, and they have off-road diesel in that pickup truck, and they can take that pickup truck. It's full, a couple hundred gallons. And they can run out and they fill up their generators, they fill up the tractors, you know, stuff like that. And that's what they do. They go from, you know, equipment to equipment with that pickup truck. And then whenever they get somewhere, like they get to, a co-op where they can get supplies, they also have a place where they can buy that diesel. And a lot of times, like I said, you can't buy it just at the pump where you can put it in the vehicle. You got to buy it where it's like in bulk. Like you can only buy like 100 gallons at a time or whatever. So things like that. But, you know, truckers these days don't have to worry about that much, but you also need to be known that it exists. And a lot of truckers out there, they don't. There is diesel out there that you shouldn't be buying. Above all else, you shouldn't be buying diesel off the guy for backup pickup. You know, you see that sometimes a driver get on the radio and he needs money. So what he does is that he has a fuel card from his company, and the company doesn't have it locked where they don't have it, where he can buy as much fuel as he wants. So what he'll do is he'll swipe the card. He'll say, hey, anybody want to buy, 100 gallons of fuel for $100? And what he'll do is he'll take you up to the pump and he'll swipe that card. You give him $100 cash and then you get $100 gallons, and his company just paid for your fuel, and you gave him $100. So, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time. I'm not real sure how prosecutors or law enforcement would like to take to that. Like I said, the victim is the person on the other end of that card paying the bill. So that would come down to them, you know, needing to find out about it. But I've seen it happen. You know, I've seen people where I pulled up to the fuel island, got out of the truck, you know, got my gloves ready to, you know, got the pumps lined up, fixing to put my card in, put all my stuff in. Guy walked up to me and said, "Hey man, look, man, I'm short of cash, but I got a card here. I'll give you some diesel. You know, you got any, you know, I'll swap you, you know, cash for diesel. And, you know, I don't want to be a part of it because you know what? Karma catches up with you real bad, you know? And I probably wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that somebody did, you know, that I did that like that. So yeah, it happens. So if you see it, you know, it's one of those things you just got to watch out for. We live, you know, it's one of those things in reality we have to put up with is that, we try to do better. We want to do better, but we still live in a world where, you know, there are people out there that don't want to do better. They want to skim the system as much as they can. That's just the reality as it is. So you just have to keep in mind to do better at those things. So that's about it on that. But other than that, everything else is just hunky dory. And like I said, you just keeping up with things going on out here in the world and seeing how everything goes. But we're just going to keep on rocking here. Like I said, we appreciate everybody listening and following along. And like I said, don't be buying off-road diesel fuel unless you got a vehicle or a container that can take it. Because you put it in that truck that's illegal, they'll catch you. You know, karma always catches up with you and all that. So, but anyway. Check things out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate everybody doing that. And we'll stick it right along here. We'll keep it on going with things. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
And that old sheriff's out there dogging us again. He thinks he's really got it cooking. Plans to do a lot of booking. The only trouble, he keeps looking where we've already been. So if I can keep it on the ground, then I put that hammer down. And I'll be Texas bound and I'm flying. Keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, but I'll be Texas bound and a flying. I got my tin in the wind, let it all hang out again. Well, how you gonna win if you ain't trying? Now Smokey and the Bandit is a tale you don't forget. For every time you hear an engine scream and whine, well, you have to think about Old Man, Old Buford, Frog, and Fred the Snowman. Their story is a legend that will live on in time. So if I can keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, I'll be Texas bound and a flying.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
The devil went down to Georgia. he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, does your dog bite? No, child, no."
All right, everybody. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back. Ed with Redneck Nines Radio, and we're here. We are live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. We appreciate everybody joining in and listening along and following along. Like I said, you want to be part of the conversation, just hit one, and we'll definitely get you in here. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, and you can get the links to all of our social media and everything, and our links to our sponsors as well, and also to our YouTube channel. Really proud of that. Before we get, don't forget to go check out one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app, the all-in-one app where you can go in and check things out. You can book freight, track freight. You can find fuel stops and maintenance facilities and truck stop parking, stuff like that. Keep contact with just what's going on in the industry. They also have some good news notifications, stuff like that. But you can check them out, truckertools.com. Or like I said, just don't go over there and just download their app from your app store, and don't forget to give them a good review. You know, let them know what you think, and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we really appreciate that. And one of the great things about doing this radio show is I kind of keep in contact with what's going on out there and the sentiments and everything of what's all over the country. You know, sometimes when you're truck driving, you only know what's going on in your company or your freight pool. Or your particular part, because in truck driving, it's all different. You know, you got expedited, you got the van, freight, LTL, you got flatbed and heavy haul and all those things, wide loads, all that stuff is all different. It's a different world. So a lot of times when you're in those different worlds, you lose track of what's going on, you know, all over. And what we see, truck drivers, is that we get into these other worlds where there's a lot of heavy haul or expedited or, certain things like the hotshot stuff and all that. And see, that stuff is the special breed truckers that we always talk about, how they just make it happen. And that's why how we came up with Redneck and I's, is when everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's. And that's how we came up with that, because a lot of truck drivers out there, they do special things that you would think, you know, would take like a large corporation to do. And it really doesn't. It's one of those things where these corporations could never, ever do. Regular, small time, only own one truck, one trailer, that's what they do. When you go out there and you see a lot of times when there's like a big piece of machinery being moved from one place to another, and there might be 6 or 8 vehicles involved. That's not a big corporation doing that. That's not the government facility doing that. That is a truck driver or a small group of truckers or a small trucking company doing that. And all those people, that's what they do for a living. And a lot of times they don't work. They get paid really well to do those small jobs. And then a lot of times they'll go from town to town, state to state, not working. And that's just amazing. You know, when you think about things that they do so well, and it gets done every day, you know. And we may see on TikTok or YouTube some mess ups, but in the grand scheme of things, those mess ups are very minor when it comes to how things get done on a daily basis, you know. And a lot of times when you see the mess ups, a lot of times it's the bigger companies that are doing the mess ups. Those are the ones that are out there just say, put a driver, just find me a driver. You can't just go out and find drivers. You got it. There's special training involved to get certain things done. So there was an article in the, this is CDL Life again, which kind of, like I said, they don't really go into depth or anything, but it was the New York Truckers Association, or that's what it is? See it. Yeah, I mean, this is so it says only a change in mindset will fix the driver shortage, industry experts claim. It's about more than just driving a truck. And it says a New York trucking industry expert says that a change in mindset may be the only strategy for riding the driver shortage exacerbated by the pandemic. Now, by reading that, you would agree with what he's about to say, which was that it wasn't the pandemic that started the driver truck shortage. They've been talking about that for years, maybe even more than a decade. And it's the it's the New York Trucking Association. So it's the president of the Trucking Association of New York, Kendra Hems, says that the truck driver shortage was looming prior to the pandemic and was only been worsened by the COVID-19. But the COVID is not the main thing keeping people from entering the industry. Public perception is. Says that the recruiting new younger drivers to replace those going into retirement has been a challenge because the way of truck driving is viewed. The job is hard. Drivers are underappreciated. The hours are long, but the position is essential to the country, and that's how Hems wants younger drivers to think of it. And nothing wrong with that statement right there. And hours are long. The job is hard. You think just sit behind the wheel. Sit behind the wheel is the easy part. It's everything else. Okay. And it really is. I mean, our joke is that, you know, in America, you're innocent till proven guilty. Well, if you're a truck driver, you're guilty till proven innocent. So, you know, it's everything's out to get you, you know, cause you're the one behind the wheel. You're responsible. And that's what, you know, that's how everybody sees it. So it says, Hems wants new, younger drivers to think about trucking as is a critical component of the supply chain, a position with room for professional growth outside the driving alone. She believes that only a change in mindset and public reception will help recruit newer and younger drivers, and that many has been working. Oh, that's the association. So that the New York Trucking Association, Trucking Association of New York, has been working on innovative initiatives to try to change this perception. It says Hems also points out that New York State Legislature recently approved a bill that would allow 18 to 20 year olds to get a CDL permit and begin training. The bill is now waiting to be signed by the governor. Most states already agreed. And see, that's it. That's all the article says. I want to know more, you know, but all we can do is we can go off of what the guy said. I think it's a woman. Yeah. Kendra. Yeah. And, it never spells that out. Okay. Yeah. She believes. There we go. So, but I want to know more about what she says. And then I want to know more about how they perceive that this bill in New York, because most states already have that where you can be 18 to 20. You just can't leave the state. It's the federal law that's got to change if you want 18 to 20 year olds to be able to drive over the road. And that's where most of the positions are needed, is to be over the road. So that kind of thing is you got to watch out for. Now, I personally think that, you know, if you have a minimum age to join the military, that is the minimum wage. That is the minimum age right there. So you got to be 18 to If you're 18 years old, you can legally go die for your country. That means you should be able to go buy a firearm. You should be able to go to a nightclub and get drunk, and you should be able to drive a big truck. You should be able to do whatever it is necessary. Most companies don't even hire 21-year-olds. Most companies only hire 23 or older. That's their requirement for insurance purposes, or just that's their requirement. So even 21, which is the national age, you're not going to get a job working for a major carrier like these large carriers where I just spelled out are probably having most of the accidents. So the younger drivers are not having most of the accidents. It doesn't matter. It's all about training. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do about training. We can always point that out because we see drivers out there that are in, well, I mean, I know drivers off the top of my head right now that I knew them when they were 17, 18 years old, and they were driving big trucks because, you know, their grandfather drove a big truck, their father drove a big truck, their uncles and everybody drove big trucks, and they drove big trucks, and they knew how to do it because they were trained by those people that knew how to do it. So those people are the ones that are out there doing the job. The ones that have an accident, they're the ones that went to truck driving school, which everybody says is a good thing. Those are the ones that went to work for these big carriers and have nice new equipment with all the safety features. Everybody says that's a good thing. They're the ones still having accidents. The ones not having accidents are the ones out there that are driving older trucks that are doing the job because they were taught by actual truck drivers that have been doing it for a really long time. And those are the ones out there doing the job and doing it, just like we said before, getting it done when nobody else thinks that it can be done. You know, they're redneckinizing. That's what they're doing. So that kind of thing is what is, I think, is always big about that. You know, if you, whatever you think of, you know, whether or not the age should be lowered, you know, that's up to you. You know, that's why we vote to tell the lawmakers what to do. But like I said, if you're old enough to go die for your country, then you're old enough to go get a drink, buy a firearm, drive a truck, whatever you want to do. Because that's how it is. That's freedom right there. Is you know, you can't tell people that are 18 years old, you can't go do anything. You know, you can't do anything except go join the military. And that's kind of why we don't get a lot of truck drivers, because when you're out of high school, a lot of people out of high school, they don't really have anything else to do. They're like, okay, I graduated, or I'm thinking about dropping out and thinking about getting a GED or whatever, you know. Okay, I'm at the point now where the government doesn't really care. I'm 18 years old, so they want me to vote, but they don't really care what else I do. They don't, you know, I can join the military, but what else can I do? And a lot of them go into like plumbing, or they go into electrical, like be an electrician. You know, those trade schools that are much needed, we need that stuff. You know, everybody out there saying, well, go to college. You know, hey, I don't need philosophy majors to fix my air conditioning. You know, I need air conditioning experts, people that have been taught to do that stuff. So we need that stuff. Well, truck driving is one of those where people aren't going into truck driving out of high school. And maybe we need that. If we want to recruit drivers, people to be drivers, then we need to recruit where the recruiting is being done. And a lot of these places, they're starting right there in, you know, whether it be in high school or community college. You know, you're teaching CDL classes at a community college. Most everybody going to those classes are in their 30s, you know, so you're not catching them young there, even though you're in a community college. And that community college has a truck driving school. You know, they also have a welding school, and you got a lot of young people going to that welding school, but they're not going to the truck driving school because they can't. Because, you know, what's the use if you can't drive out of state? A lot of them, maybe they want to go out of state. You know, they get job offers out of state when they become a welder. So you never know. So I just always think that's, you know, that's weird that, you know, we can have the person turn 18 years old. You can either sign up for the military or go vote for president, but you can't do anything else. You know, that's pretty much all you can do. You know, you can buy what can you buy cigarettes? Some places you probably can't even do that. Like I said, if you can vote, then you should be able to do everything else. You know, if you can go die for your country, then you should be able to do everything else. So we should be seriously thinking about that kind of stuff. They're supposed to have a pilot program and to see how that works. It's what they have to have. Like here's the other stupid thing. The federal government says, well, we want people under the age of 21 to be able to drive over the road, but they have to be in a newer vehicle that has to have all the safety features that I just told you aren't working because those companies are still having accidents. You know, the what do you call the guys out there, like I said, guys getting it done are doing it in older vehicles, and they're doing it, you know, on their own authority with their father or grandfather, grandmother, whatever. You know, they've always done it like that way. So I don't know, tell me what you think. But you can, like I said, share it on YouTube, give me a comment there, or let me know on Facebook. You can hit that up too. But it's you can call in here at 516-387-1733 to be a part of the conversation. Just hit one. You know, that kind of thing. You know, we can always say that, you know, life is good until we make it good. You know, you got to do it that way. So you never know. But there you go. So, but yeah, keep on going there. Like I said, hit it up, redneckandeyes.com. You can hit a link to our YouTube channel and all of our sponsors. We really appreciate all of those guys helping us out. And, you know, we're just going to stick around here and be here for the next couple hours here. Well, I guess we got an hour left, whatever. We're always here at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Sundays, live for 2 hours. That's what we do. So, like I said, 516-387-1733, redneckandeyes.com. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Now you're the bandit on the run. Not a bad guy, just having fun. Still riding hard beneath those western skies. If there's an ambush up ahead and you see Smokey's lights flashing red, remember Trigger and me will be by your side. Like concrete cowboy ride, the open highway is your lane. 10-4 little buckaroo, and happy trails to you. Ride, concrete cowboy, ride. All those bad guys that I faced at the Saturday matinee.
I was going to Arizona, maybe on to California, where the people all live so fine. My baby said I was crazy, my mama called me lazy, I was gonna show them all this time. Cause you know I ain't no fool and I don't need no more schooling, I was born to just walk the line. Living on Tulsa time, living on Tulsa time. Well, you know I've been through it when I set my watch back to it. Living on Tulsa time.
Living on Tulsa time, gonna set my watch back to it, 'cause you know.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
You know, I always loved this song, you know, and it was, it had come out, I remember, with watching Field of Dreams that they played that song, and it was a cool tune, so I started listening to it and paying attention to it, and it's like, what are they singing about? They're singing about China Grove, but it says sleepy little town just south of San Antone, and there's a town, China Grove, so China Grove. I think it really became famous because of that cool guitar riff right there. Just a, you know, cool sound. Everybody loves it. They could have been singing about anything and nobody would have cared as long as they had that cool guitar riff on that. But I just thought it was cool. It was China Grove, Texas. That's what they're talking about right there. So we're just back here. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Go check us out. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we're really proud of that. It's really great. And we're just kicking back here, 516-387-1733. Just taking your calls, talking about trucking. And we were talking about earlier about getting the red dye fuel being stolen and then sold back to truckers. And truckers shouldn't be, well, you shouldn't be running that in your truck, because especially in California, because those Nazis out there, they'll catch you. But other than that, and then also talking about just, you know, the driver shortage in general, and what can we do to fix it, or what can we do to quit people talking about it? I don't know. Maybe they'll never stop talking about it. You know, as long as you would think that if the driver shortage was real, that drivers would be out there making $200,000 a year, you know, but that's not the case. You can still make a pretty good living, but you're not going to, you know, they're short doctors, and, you know, doctors make a lot of money. What do you think? So let's take it here and let's see. I think we got one of our founders on the line here. Let's check it out. What's going on, Greg? Nope. Did you make it? He hits the button and then falls asleep, I think is what happened.
I got bored with music, so I muted it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's I love music, man. That's why I got on here and play the music. Of course, you know, we were talking about before when there's nobody to talk, then I gotta think of something.
No, actually, I just got home. We didn't, but me and one of my friends, Donnie, he was out looking for another truck today, so we was out truck shopping. So that's where we was at today. I did about 600 mile my pickup today. We went over to Columbus and looked at the truck over there, and then we ended up clear up in Oil City, Pennsylvania before he found one.
Oh, wow. Yep.
So that's where my day, that's how my day went today. No big deal. Yep. Bought my old Multi-International.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He bought it off of you or what?
Well, I bought it off of him, and I drove it for 6 months when mine went down. And then when I got done with it, I parked it, and then he bought it back, and he's been running it now. We've done a bunch of work to it and everything. It's in good shape. So he decided he wanted another truck. He wanted one with a hood on it, so he wanted one like mine. So we went found, we looked around, so we found him a nice 99 Classic today. Mine's a 98. We found him a 99.
There you go. Yep.
With Detroit and everything, so now he's got what he wants.
Yep. Yep.
So
those and people don't realize, you know, the Detroit's already easy to work on, and then you just put that big hood up on top of it, and that makes it even easier to work on because that hood goes all the way forward, where it's completely out of the way.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to work on them things.
Yep. Yeah. And then. All that you take all the plastic off of those other trucks, and you can get to the components much easier. You know, these others,
right.
They got the wheel wells and all that stuff like that all done there. Sometimes you go into those dealerships when they're working on those big trucks in there at the Freightliner dealership. They spend a half an hour to an hour of labor time just taking that plastic stuff off so they can get to the actual thing that needs to be repaired.
Yeah. Fisher Price, my first trucks.
There you go.
What I call them, they're plastic. They're plastic. Plastic trucks.
Yep. Well, you know, hey, but the only thing I do is I do keep the music on here to make sure that I can fire it up just in case you get out of hand. You know, just like Robbie said.
Is that right? Well, you know what? I don't know if Robbie's listening tonight, and I don't care. He likes stirring the pot. What's that old saying? He that stirs a pot should have to lick the spoon. that being said, I know there's another agitator that's listening tonight, and he likes stirring it up too. But now he sends a message. He sends out a message. Listening, ain't that?
Yeah, listen.
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Of course, you know I was talking about.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, everybody has good things to say until there's time to actually say it. You know, that's.
Yeah. What is it? What we talk about here a couple weeks ago, everybody wants to do it, be an outlaw, so it's time to do outlaw stuff to keep it clean, and then nobody wants to do it.
Yep. Everybody talks about being an outlaw trucker until outlaw trucker stuff got to be done.
Yep.
So there it goes again. Do you hear the buzzer? That buzzer means that.
Got another one. Listen. But, but no, that with what you was bringing up about the 18-year-olds crossing state lines and stuff, I agree. They got to start. Everybody's got to start somewhere. All right. But that being said, what's the problem? I mean, 18-year-olds is good enough to go. Yeah, they're able to go in the military and play everything and do everything, you know, vote, whatever, but they can't cross state lines in a truck. Well, that's all good. Like I read a post somebody shared today on Stop the Fire 2020, and I got to agree with some of these people. When you get out in the Midwest and you're running around, it's not hard when you're running out there in the flat ground, you know, with inexperienced drivers where it's all flat or down south where it's dry and everything. That's fine. What are they going to do the first time that they get out there in the middle of the winter, you know, and they're not real familiar with, you know, they're inexperienced anyhow, and they get out there and they get in a snowstorm out there in the Rockies. They have to start throwing chains and stuff, and they get on terrain that they're not used to doing, just like Pennsylvania. I mean, them guys out there, you know, younger kids, they can get used to custom to driving in a state that they're in. But then what do they do when they go into a state that they're not real familiar with and they haven't been driving that long anyhow? So, well, it's okay for them to drive, you know, to go in the military and everything, but my opinion, I might be wrong, keep the age at 21. don't let them start driving interstate until they're 21 or whatever. But, hey, if you want to give them, put them in the military, let them do, for, you know, a couple, 3 years in the military. And when they come out, then they've already learned respect. You know, they'll take that cocky attitude out of these kids and everything and teach them, you know, teach them respect that apparently their parents, a lot of the kids, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of the parents ain't doing now is teaching the kids respect. They're letting them do whatever they want to do. So the military will take that out of them, and nobody knows that better than you, or yeah, you said it how many times, you know?
Yeah.
How many times did you say it? Taylor was in the military. You was in the military. I was in the military. You know, they'll take that cocky attitude away from you. They'll teach you. They'll teach you to be a man.
Yeah. The only thing I argue they don't do that with everybody. Now, I mean, like, you know, you get in there, you mess up a little too many times, and they'll boot you right out. And that's the thing is they like booting people out of there. But you know, I think let's have it this way. Let's not have a law. Let's let the states decide who can drive in their state, and then maybe let's do it kind of like how we do the license to carry. Maybe we need to have, like, you know, the CDL holders, where you can drive in, if you're licensed to drive in Texas and you're 18 years old, you might not be able to drive in Louisiana or Arkansas, but you're legal to drive in Oklahoma, or you're legal to drive in New Mexico, depending on, you know, what the states agree with, depending on what, and also too, I think what we probably need to do more of is we don't have a training program. You know, the funny thing about it is I don't know, you know, you did it differently than I did. I went to truck driving school. Okay. So I went down to the DPS office and took my test to become a truck driver. And then I passed the test. Well, according to the state of Texas, I had a CDL. I didn't have to go with a trainer. I could just get in a truck and go, just run, just go wherever I wanted. The United States said I was old enough, and the state of Texas said that I completed the training. So when I went to work for this big company that was hiring me, they're the ones that decided that I should have gone with a trainer, because according to their study of my experience, I didn't qualify to be on my own. But the state, the government, they said I was good to go. They didn't require any training. They didn't even require, right. they don't even require you go to truck driving school. You know, they only require.
I want to know how many people up there in government that's sitting there running their mouths and beating their lips and everything. I want to know how many of them has actually went out and sat in a truck. How many of them drove truck? How much experience have they got? They're sitting there and write to the law and set the regulations and everything, but half of them can't even spell truck.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why we need to probably, most states probably should allow 18 to 20 year olds. Like I said, you know, if you don't want the federal, like just run in the state of Texas, you can run a lot of miles and not.
That's
cross
right.
State. You know, so certain states you can definitely do that. I would think that like New York would probably have to work with like New England and Jersey. Like I said, have it like a reciprocate where if you're 18 to 20, and you're operating in the state of New York, then you should, you know, maybe Jersey can say, hey, you can come down here. You know, you can drive in our state. You know, you just can't, you got to have be on certain roads, and maybe they have it where you can only drive at a certain time of day or stuff like that. You know, you can have restrictions on that stuff. That's not a big deal. You know, over the road is when it gets hard. And we know that we probably need that a lot, but over the road where it gets hard, maybe over the road needs to be paying more, because over the road is the hardest. And you and I both know that there's more money to be made everywhere else other than over the road. You can make more money doing other stuff. So that kind of thing. But what do you call, just have it where, you know, we can, we need to probably have more communication on that. But like she said before, that you start out and you get to becoming a truck driver. And what the best part about it is, I was really successful. It took a little bit because I had to learn how to be a dispatcher, had to learn how to be a manager. But when I got off the road and became a dispatcher / manager type of deal, where I was, you know, in charge of finding freight for trucks, I was better at it because I drove a truck. So So a lot of people will tell you, and my supervisors, the people that brought me in, I said, you know, hey, I'm out here driving, but if there's a spot opening up to be in the office, I want to do that. And they said, okay, then, you know, there here's a spot, come on, do it. And it was like a month after that. It was like a month after I asked, they said, yes, come do it. And of course, I started out doing the graveyard night shift, stuff like that, learning the job. Well, what made me better at it, what made me better at doing that in the office was that I had done, had been a driver. So just like with this, this person, this president of the New York Trucking Association, she says that being a driver opens you up for all these other jobs. Because you drove a truck, you can understand that when you're in this one job, either being a maintenance or whether it being in dispatching, or even in government, you know, if you were a truck driver that got off the road and became a bureaucrat where you can help maintain the laws, then we're going to look at you with a different light. You know, we're going to say, hey, that person knows what they're doing, you know, because they were a driver. And you see that a lot of successful managers, especially ones that get up in the higher levels, the more successful ones, the ones that get more out of their drivers are the ones that were drivers. And I think you're right about that. Get out there and drive. Don't try to, if you want to be an executive, you know, yeah, train to be an executive, but if you're an executive at a trucking company, the truckers they're not going to, you know, unless you're a really good leader, which there are very few of those, but if you never drove a truck, they don't care about what you think, you know?
Exactly.
Yep. But yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, but like I said, whether or not we get the guys out there, I mean, I think we should be starting younger because there's just so many other jobs being taken by these guys, you know? And of course it is a whole different mindset. You know, the funny thing is you could tell a guy how much you make, and he'd be like, really? And, you know, he's over there flipping burgers or whatever, but you tell him he's going to have to, you know, leave the house for a month or two at a time until he gets the right job. He's not going to want to do it.
Ain't going to happen. These kids are not going to go out there. They're not going to do that.
Nope.
They're not going to go out there and stay 3 weeks, a month at a time. They're not going to do that. That's not in the cards. They've got...
Yep.
These kids at 18 years old, man, all they're thinking about is they're going home on the weekends. They want a job where they can go out. They can work during the day. They can go home. They can party at night. They can run around with their girlfriends, their friends, their buddies, go out, you know, live it up, you know, get up and do it in the morning. They're not going to go out there and stay out here in these trucks. Them days are over with. And sooner they figure that out, the better off they are. That the old school days that we come up in, you know, 30, 40 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, that they're it's not going to happen. You know, everybody wants to go out and say, hey, I can drive the big rigs. I can go out and I drive a truck. I'm a truck driver. Yeah. Yeah. You're a truck driver, you know, Monday to Friday or to the end of the day. And then I'm going home. You know, I don't get it. It's just like all the trucks now. I mean, you got everybody driving now. Everybody wants to be a truck driver. There wasn't all these truck drivers, but yet they're coming out with all these automatic transmissions now. Think about how many accidents. How much does the accident rate went up since they come out with automatic transmissions? Does anybody do a study on that?
Yeah, I would like to see,
you know,
something
automatic
like
transmissions. Well, if you train, I don't know how it is there, but if you train on an automatic transmission and you get your CDL on an automatic transmission, automatic is the only way, the only thing that you're allowed to drive.
Yeah,
if you go to work with another company where you have to drive a manual, you have to go be recertified to drive a manual transmission. Are you serious?
So if people out there know that there's certain restrictions, like you have to wear glasses or you can't, or you have to have an endorsement to be able to, like I think it's either a restriction to where only automatic transmission, or it's an endorsement where you're certified to drive manual.
Right.
So just like everything, like doubles, triples, hazmat, glasses or not glasses, or you know, sometimes wasn't there one where like the beginning truck drivers can only drive during the daytime or whatever? They had a certain restriction on that stuff. Of course, you're like a learner's permit where you got to have somebody with you in the seat, you know, passenger seat. It's just like that. You know, it's They stop you, they stick your license, and they look in there, and they see you driving a manual, and it has over there, it says automatic only, then you're illegal.
Right. Well, who was it? Wasn't it just a month or so ago that who was it? Warner? I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to call out names. I think it was Warner that put that in for an exemption or something. They wanted an exemption so that their trainees, their trainers, could go out with their trainers, and they could go in the bunk and lay down and go to sleep while that trainee was driving.
No, it was...
And they're trying to get an exemption for that. Oh, they don't care about what that trainee's doing or what he may be doing up there while that guy's in the bunk. All he's wanting is that extra money for that training pay.
Well, England...
And the companies
England.
Don't care, because as long as they can keep that truck moving, they're making money.
No, it was England. England had a deal.
Maybe
with
it was
a,
England. I'm sorry. Maybe I called out the wrong one.
Well, what they wanted was they wanted the exemption to give their trainee. So their trainee lives so England's based in Salt Lake, right? You're in Salt Lake, but you live say in Montana, or you live in Nevada, which is not that far away from Salt Lake, right? So what you did was they wanted to be able to, the trainee finished all of their training. All they needed to do was go back home and take their state test. And then they would be able to drive. But the problem is they were in Salt Lake. So England wanted the exemption to say, okay, I want them to be able to drive their truck with their permit home. And then when they go take their test and get their license, then they're good to go and they don't have to come back and get a truck. So, we can send them home with the truck. See, so that's what they wanted to do, was be able to send them home with a truck. That way, when they went home, they could get their CDL. And what their argument was is that the drivers would go to England, get trained, get their CDL, or get their permit and all that, and then be trained, and then they would just go back home, don't take a truck with them, and then they would take their test and get their CDL in their home state, and then they never come back to work for England. They would just go to work for somebody else in their home state nearby, because like we know, there's a lot of those private outfits out there in Montana and Nevada, where it's just their backcountry boys, and they just need a CDL so they can haul cattle or whatever. So yeah, they were wanting those exemptions where they can let the students drive, or they were trying to let the students with permits team with each other. So in most companies, they have it where trainees can train together, where once you've completed, instead of going out 6 or 8 weeks with a trainer, you'd only go out 4 weeks with a trainer, but then you would team up with another student. But see, like I said before, these guys have already taken their tests and they're already qualified by the state. But England wanted the exemption to say, okay, well, I've got two guys with permits. I got two drivers with permits. I want to put them in a truck together and let them run team. They don't have CDLs yet. They just have learner's permits. And they wanted an exemption for that because there's two drivers. There's two better than one. And I can tell you right now, that's not true, because I worked for Swift Transportation when that happened, and they got rid of that program a lot because it did not work. Okay, two heads are not better than one when it comes to students.
All right. Somebody just made a comment here. I'm not going to call him out by name because he's the one that put the text in here or the comment. So I'm just going to say it like this, real sweet and simple. Automatic hater, 9 miles per gallon average. I'll keep my automatic. I didn't say anything about the automatic transmissions one way or the other. All I said was the guys that's training on the damn automatics that can't drive a manual transmission should not be out here. If you're going to train, you train on a manual. Then if you go to an automatic, that's fine. But what happens if you go out there and you train on an automatic and then you can't drive manual, or something happens, you have to get a manual for whatever reason, then you can't drive the damn thing. There's a lot of people out there that can't drive a manual transmission. So
yeah,
when you start making smart-ass comments about automatic haters, I didn't say I was an automatic hater. I had one, Jeff. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything bad about the automatics. Automatic transmissions have come a long way. I said all I'm saying is you should have to be able to drive a manual transmission to cause. If you want to drive a truck, you should have to be able to drive manual. Because the same way it was when I started driving a car. My dad told me, you're going to learn to drive a manual. You're not driving automatic. You're going to drive a manual, because if you can drive a manual transmission, you can drive damn near anything. And there's a lot of truth to that.
I agree.
And the only reason that they come out with the automatics and started pushing these automatics, they can get women, they can get younger people, they can get anybody out there can drive an automatic transmission. Hell, before long, they won't talk about autonomous trucks driving themselves. Hell, they can get a damn monkey to drive a damn automatic transmission in a truck.
You know,
I'm not saying you can't drive a truck. There's more to driving a truck than standing there holding a damn steering wheel. Everybody wants to talk about that. I'm done. Hey, look, you know what? I'm getting out of hand here. So it's time I just go let somebody else call in. Everybody else got the right answers. So I'm going to fall out and just listen for a while, Ed, because I'm just getting out of hand.
And this is good YouTube right here. Good YouTube. That's why we cue the music. Greg is fired up. We are going to get him going again here. We're going to bring him back. Because we love it when Greg gets fired up, because guess what? It gets everybody fired up and it gets us all to do better and do good things, and that's what it's all about. And like I said, don't forget to check out our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com. Those guys, a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and they're doing great things. They support Redneck and I, which is awesome, but they're also a great little outfit. They got the warehousing, the expedited, the hazmat certification, temperature control, all that good stuff, LDL, everything else. So check them out, LTRtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And be sure to check those guys out. Be sure to check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio, 516-387-1733. We'll see you in a bit.
If you think I'm happy, you'll rush. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at LTRtransportation.com. Or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Girl, that's what I've been. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. This high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in Nashville, cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They know my new Galloway heart. I just ride, ride, till I'm back in your arms again. I'll be out here on the wind, and I'll ride till I'm back in your arms again. I'll be out here on the wind, and I'll ride, ride.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Redneck and I's Radio. We're live here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 516-387-1733. You can check out our website, redneckandi's.com. We really appreciate everybody doing that for us. And you can have the links to all of our sponsors on the website there. And also check out our YouTube channel. And please subscribe to that. We really do appreciate that. We're growing that channel pretty good. You know, we share videos from this show here. When we talk about it, we put them out there on YouTube, and with all the articles and stuff we're talking about, you can comment on there as well and seeing that stuff. And of course, we just keep everybody up to date on what's going on with Redneck and I's and things out there. And what we try to do is share truck drivers' knowledge of what's going on out there on the road and things like that. The one thing that we got on there on YouTube is that you can go and you can see videos of truck drivers talking about how trucking is out there on the road, whether it be like, you know, passing big trucks, following big trucks, when you see intersections with big trucks turning, stuff like that. And just from a truck driver's perspective, letting the regular four-wheelers know out there what's going on and how we do things so that you can see, you know, maybe you can anticipate truck drivers needing certain space or doing certain things out there on the road and just make life better for truck driving out there. Because it's a stressful job for those truck drivers, especially when you got a lot of little cars running around, you know, up underneath the trucks and around the trucks and all that. And those cars are probably more scared of the big truck than probably the person that's driving the big truck, whether or not they're experienced or not. You know, what I hate is being out there and just I don't know what those cars are doing. You know, a lot of times they got their head in their phone, not paying attention, or they think what they're doing is better than what they should be doing. And of course, our biggest thing is just get away from trucks. Just, you know, when you're going to pass one, get on it, get around them. You know, if you got an extra lane, you can move over, get over, get on down the road. You know, hanging out behind the big truck, whether or not you're in the next lane over, if you're behind the big truck, either directly behind them or in the lane over, you're just in a bad spot. You know, because not only does the truck driver, especially at night, can't see you that well, but they don't know what you're doing. They don't know what you're thinking. And also, something can come off that truck and get to your vehicle because, you know, there's stuff on the truck. They've got stuff tied down, whether it be freight or just tools that we've got, you know, sitting around the truck. And a lot of times it's just debris hits the trucks and we've got mud flaps and we've got parts that are exposed up under there. And if something gets up under that truck and hits those pieces, they can come flying off. And we've seen it happen, you know, and of course tires, you know, tires fail all the time. You never know. Sometimes, you know, so, you know, a lot of drivers out there, if you see, a lot of times we can tell you, if you see a big truck, whether and the big truck might be real nice and clean, all lit up, nice lights everywhere and shiny and all that. And then the trailer is like a piece of junk trailer. Looks real dirty, nasty and old. Then chances are that trailer doesn't belong to that trucker, which means that that trailer has probably not had a very good service done on it. And the trucker is just trying to get it down the road as safe as he can, you know, whether or not he's got good tires. I mean, all he can do is check them and then report if there's a problem. And it's up to the people that own it that want to fix it or not. And as long as it's legal, which legal doesn't necessarily mean safe. So they want to get down the road and you just never know. So that kind of, those kind of things is what people just don't realize that, you see drivers out there all the time. You know, we see it. I see it all the time where you report something and oh, that's legal. That's legal. You can run. You're good. You know, and it's up to you you know, you can actually go. Sometimes officers, the inspectors, they'll tell you it's legal. It's legal. But it just ain't right. You know, a lot of things missing or, you know, slippage or even tire treads. You know, hey, tire tread don't look good. You know, oh, it's legal. You know, but, you know, legal doesn't necessarily mean safe. That's the way we see it, especially over here. But, you know, that's what Redneck and I do. We get things done. When everything goes wrong, we just find a way to get it done. So that's what we do. So we're just rocking and rolling here. Having a great night, great discussions, good stuff talking about. One of the things I saw online here was an article. It was really short. And of course, it's CDLLife.com, which they're always short with their articles. We've already talked about that a couple of times. But they were talking about an accident. Now, they report accidents. In fact, if you look up the top 20 Google searches for trucking news, I bet you 15 of them are accidents. Whether it be serious accidents or just fender benders, you know, but if it involves like, you know, one involves a mail carrier did a U-turn and caused a fatal in a fatal crash with a semi truck, you know, that's top search, you know, that's what it is. But, this one I saw was weird because it was out of Chicago and, actually I pulled it up. It made the CBS Chicago news and there was no video or anything that I saw. Without going through a bunch of different stuff. But it says the truck driver, William Wells, 46, was found dead on Tuesday morning in his employer's train yard in West Englewood between his rig and its trailer. It says at 2:30 a.m., police were called to a train yard that Wells worked at as a driver and discovered his body between the semi-truck and the semi-trailer. He was dead on arrival. Police said that Wells owned the truck. Says according to the medical examiner's office, Wells died from traumatic asphyxiation, also known as crush asphyxiation. It says crush asphyxia is when the pressure is placed on the chest that where normal breathing cannot occur, and that's it. That's all they say. And of course, as a truck driver, I wanted to know exactly how did that happen, what happened there, because you know, the truck just doesn't roll unless. My assumption, what I assumed happened is the driver either forgot to set the tractor brake after backing up under the trailer, or he was backing up and the landing gear was either too high or too low. So he had to get out to be able to move the landing gear so that he can get the trailer set right for the truck. And something was going on, something was wrong, and he might have climbed up under to check something and didn't set the brake. And sometimes drivers forget. A lot of times drivers don't really worry about it. Certain things happen. Back in my rookie days, I remember, you know, trying to hook up, you know, doing a quick thing, jumping and jumping out, and you forget to set the brake, and the truck starts rolling. And it's not, I mean, you know, a lot of times the truck will start rolling. You know, you let your foot off the brake and the truck will roll because you're on a steeper, either incline, decline, whatever. But a lot of times you're on a level ground and you don't really realize it. And then the truck doesn't start rolling until you jump out, until you get out of the truck. And, you know, that happens a lot. And drivers just don't, you know, I mean, like I said, you forget because you're moving fast and things going. So you got to slow down. You got to take your time and you got to kind of focus on, you know, making sure things happen. For my sake, what I always did was that I didn't want the truck to roll at all. So, I mean, my foot was hard on that brake, and I would set that brake before I got out. Because I did. I did forget. Back in the days, I did forget. So I was always freaking out about the truck rolling. And then I hear stories about how if you were in an area that had a lot of foot traffic where people were walking and all that, you know, you forget, and you're in the truck. And you let your foot off the brake, not thinking that your truck is going to roll because you think you brake set, but you forgot and you let your foot off the brake and you're not paying attention and you're in the truck, you're in sitting in the seat and the truck starts rolling and you don't realize it's rolling because you're not looking, you're focusing on paperwork or whatever. And you forgot to set the brake. And then you find out that, you know, somebody got ran over because your truck was rolling. And that's what we boiled down to, that Mike Rowe, the guy that does dirty jobs. He said that too. He said that we put so much emphasis on safety that safety no longer becomes an issue. And that because your, like, when you have these safety procedures, like the driver, if the driver's in the truck, the driver is supposed to set the brake. Well, that just means that everybody else walking around is not supposed to be looking out for rolling vehicles, you know, or the driver is supposed to set the brake and they forget, you know. So they're like, it's like all the emphasis is put on that one person to make sure that truck doesn't roll. Well, we should be able to put emphasis on other people saying, hey, make sure, you know, it's kind of like driving when you're out moving in a yard. We wear a safety vest, and the safety vest is supposed to so that we would be seen. Well, you know what you got to do also while you're wearing that safety vest walking around in the yard? You got to be looking, because just because you can be seen doesn't mean you are being seen. You know, I mean, there are blind spots while you're sitting in the vehicle, no matter if somebody is wearing, you know, stripes or whatnot. They, you know, sometimes you just don't see them because of where they're at, and they could be in a blind spot or whatever. So as a person walking in the yard, you still got to watch out. We see that all the time in the parking lot. I was just driving my pickup truck through the Walmart parking lot. People just walking, not even looking, you know. And it's like, if I wasn't paying attention, then you would be run over, you know. And it's like people just walking, just not even looking for cars. Remember when you get yelled at when you were a kid, when you got out of the car and you started walking, and your mother would grab you by the back of your throat or whatever, just, you know, watch out for cars, you know. You get yelled at for not watching out for cars when you really shouldn't be getting yelled at, because people should be watching for you, right? Well, guess what? You got to be watching for cars too, just like in a yard. You got to be watching. So in this instance here, I just think that the driver had gotten into a jam where he needed to fix something, and then didn't either set the brake purposely because he figured, you know, I'm on level ground, no big deal, or forgot. And one of the two. Because, you know, we see it all the time. The other thing I'd point out, too, is a lot of these company trucks. If you're a company out there and you're watching this video, just watch out. Just be what you need to understand is that you have an idle restriction on your vehicle, where if this vehicle is sitting parked for a long period of time, the engine automatically shuts off, right? Well, I'm just telling you, drivers are bypassing that, because what they're doing is they're pushing in the brake and they're not setting the brake. So they're letting the truck just sit there. Not with the brake set. And that's an issue, because now what you're doing is the driver is trying to idle the truck, whether to stay warm or to, you know, stay cool, or just so that they won't, you know, so that they can keep the lights working, whatever. They're letting the truck run. You know, a lot of times we got dead batteries. So when the truck starts, we got to keep the truck running, and the truck has an idle restriction on it. You know, a lot of times not hooked to the battery. Sometimes it is, but the driver will do whatever it needs to do. The driver will do whatever's necessary to keep the truck running. And a main thing around that is by setting, releasing the brakes, getting on a level ground, and then letting the truck just idle and like that. Now, when a driver's in the truck with their foot on the brake, right, not an issue, right? Maybe, maybe not. Like I said, they could forget, let their foot off the brake, truck starts rolling. I don't know about any of y'all. I would be sitting in a truck stop, and I'd set the brake. And I'd still have my foot just kind of sitting on the brake, my foot would be down there. You know, I'm in the driver's seat working on paperwork. I got the light on, looking around. I'm in the truck stop in the parking lot. The truck next to me will start pulling out, and I would notice that the truck was moving, that the truck I'm parked next to is moving. I would freak out thinking I was moving, and you would hear my foot just slam on the brakes thinking, oh, my God, I'm moving. No, it's the other truck moving, because I don't want the truck to be moving, especially if you're not paying attention. You know, with air and all that stuff like that, the way the truck can easily roll as long as it's got air flowing, you know. So we got to, you know, there's a lot of things that can be changed out there. I think that the idle restrictions on these big companies, they probably need to go away. Just let the trucks run. You know, it's not that big of a deal these days, especially with the newer technology, but just a driver needs to be able to stay cool or warm, whether it need be, you know, especially if it's cold or really hot. The truck needs to be able to run so that the driver can stay comfortable, especially if they're having to sit waiting on somebody, you know, things like that. So all we need to do is have better habits as drivers, which means that if you're not in the truck, turn the truck off. If you need to be in the truck should be running. But if you don't need to be in the truck, turn the truck off. Don't crank the truck and let it idle and then just walk away and let it idle, you know, for half an hour at a time, you know. If you own the truck paying for the fuel, it's up to you. You know, but most company drivers out there, you know, what they try to do is they try to keep the truck idling so they can stay warm or cool, whatever. And the owner of the truck, the big companies, they have idle restrictions on them. And a lot of drivers are bypassing that by not setting the brake. They say the driver owned that truck. Not real sure. They know definition of owner. Could be something different. You know, we don't know. But it's sad that this kind of stuff happens still. You know, like I said, I'd like to know more about how it happened. That's what I'd like to see. Whether or not he set the brake or didn't brake or something failed. Maybe a mechanical failure caused the truck to roll. You know, we were just talking about automatic transmissions. Automatic transmissions the same way. Some automatic transmissions have a park where it's just like in a car, where once you put it in park, it doesn't move. It has a transmission brake on it where it doesn't run. But most of them are all just neutral, where the automatic transmission is set to neutral and the truck will still roll if the brakes are released. And most of them are like that, ones that I know nowadays. So it all depends on that kind of stuff. But yeah, just tell me what you think. Like I said, 516-387-1733. Walking a lot along here. We had some good conversations earlier about driving, whether or not to be 18 or 18 to 20. In New York, they're fixing to change the law. So that'll happen pretty soon. They're waiting on the governor's signature on that. And, you know, talking about that's in conjunction with the driver shortage. See how that works out. So you never know, things like that. Well, that's pretty much all I was talking about. Let's see, we got about 20 more minutes of good time here we can kick back and relax with. So if anybody else has got anything, just give me a holler, 516-387-1733. And tell me what you think. Like I said, and you guys on YouTube, please comment and tell me what you think about that, whether or not setting the brakes we just need better habits. You know, we need to get into better habits of making sure that the brakes are set. You know, maybe even drivers carrying chalks with them, making sure that when you get out of the truck, you know, a lot of times we've seen that back in the day. I don't know if anybody ever seen that before, where a driver would back up under the trailer and then he would pull the chalk like out of the catwalk or just right there by the side door, have a chalk. He'd always have chalks with him. Cause you know, you can't trust the old days, the trailer would roll no matter what. And then there was no parking brake for the trailer, the old days. You know, nowadays the new system is that when you let the air out, the brakes set. And then when you apply air, when you put air into the system, the brakes release. And then you step on the brake, it applies more air to a different area of the cam to apply the brakes. Well, back in the day, it used to be the only way that the trailer would not roll is if it had air. And it would roll without air. And then the only way you could stop it is with air. And there was no, like, setting the brakes back in the old days. That was when it first started being used as air, when air brakes were first started being used. And the new ones these days are much more effective where, you know, you have to have air in order to release them. And, of course, you have to have air for them to stop as well. So that kind of thing. like I said, we dive into that too in other videos on YouTube. So, like I said, you can check all those out. But one of the great things about this radio show is we get to talk to truck drivers and what they think about all that kind of stuff. And of course, like I said, keeping things going on here. So other than that, we're just a relaxing ride along. And we hope everybody else is having a great night tonight. Like I said, don't forget to check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. You can find all the links to our sponsors and all of our social media pages on there, especially our YouTube channel. We're really excited about that. And we want to thank Unplugged Radio Network for giving us a platform out here to do all this, be out here live with you. Like I said, this is every Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And we also have on the same number on Thursday nights, we have the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. That's always on Thursdays. I don't have a time here, but I'm pretty sure it's right about the same time, maybe a little earlier. We'll see if I can get that for you here shortly. But like I said, that's Unplugged Radio Network, and this is we're just having a lot of fun here. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit. Yeah.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinize was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckinize.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckinize.
Purple.
At the truck shows, out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house, Johnny keeps it spit shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. Why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a old purple Peterbilt and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a roll purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about
it. All right, hey, everybody. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. We're live here every Sundays at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. And if you have a private conversation, just hit 1. We'll get you right in. And also, don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. This is the Unplugged Radio Network. So we're just kicking back here, having great conversations, and we're going to go over the phone and see what everybody else is doing out there tonight. And I think I know who this is. What's going on, bud? Is this Taylor? No, maybe not. People put their little number in, and then they forget, probably. So,
am I live?
Oh, no, there's Jeff. There he is. Yeah, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I think it was either you or Taylor, one or the other.
Just did a 34-hour reset in Crawfordville, Indiana. And I heard some guys talking. They heard on some radio station in Cincinnati that there was some type of a protest shutdown today. I was just wondering if anybody saw any truckers shut down. I didn't see any.
No, I mean, and you know, I look at the news and everything on here on the Google, and I didn't see anything to that nature on that. So probably was much of nothing. Tries to just get people stirred up.
Been a bunch of trucks shut down protesting vaccinations.
Well, you know, they said they were going to do that like 2 weeks ago when it first came out, and it was going to be like Monday. But the problem was is that Hurricane Ida came through, and of course they already issued an emergency and everything like that. So what they did was is that people already got on the internet saying, hey, we're not going to shut down because we're going to, you know, because the hurricane's coming. So we got to get down there and help out with the hurricane.
Oh, I just can't believe that truckers, are they that hard up looking for something to protest? Do they want to protest vaccinations one way or the other?
Well, and that's kind of what I said there too, is that, you know, there's so many other things we can get pissed off about. Why are we getting pissed off about this one thing?
It's a choice. If you want vaccination, go get vaccinated. If you don't want to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Right. And what I don't like, and we see it out there, and of course the media pushes it and everything else, is that they're pushing that the unvaccinated are making it unsafe for the vaccinated. And I thought that was really silly. I thought, well, I thought that's what being vaccinated was, why wouldn't you get vaccinated if it means you're going to be safe? I mean, that was the whole thing.
Well,
you know?
but they
delude you?
Well, COVID, and they've got the antibodies. So why force them to get a vaccination?
Well, yeah.
If they've already got the antibody.
Yep. And now they're saying, I mean, there's now studies coming out saying that the people that have gotten over it, you know, naturally with the natural immunity, they're actually in better shape than people that got the vaccination, that they actually have more antibodies in them. So
I totally feel that I'm autoimmune. I've been around people, you know, during, you know, I never stopped trucking because of COVID.
Right.
And, you know, and I get a kick out of these, some of these shippers and receivers that I go to. I mean, I don't bump the dock like a lot of hardworking truckers do, but they say mask required before entry. And you walk in, you don't have a mask on, and nobody else has got a mask on either. But I don't know. I think our country's getting so compliant that, whatever you're going to say, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's a bunch of sheep. Yep. Everybody's a sheep now. They just do, you know, they figure. Anybody in power has got to know what they're doing. They wouldn't have that job if they didn't know what they were doing, you know. So my biggest thing with truck driving is, like you're saying, there's so many other things we can get pissed off about. You know, we follow these rules. We have all these rules that we have to follow, and we don't think nothing of it. We just think, well, that's just how it is because that's how it's always been. But then you start looking at other industries that you are supposed to compare yourself to. Like, I think that truck drivers, just like how we talked about earlier, are essential. They're highly essential. They're much needed. You can't really function in a country without them. And that, you know, there's certain ones out there making good money, hopefully more than others, but that's the way it is. But in other industries, like doctors and lawyers and school teachers, okay, those type of people, you know that those people are not required by the federal or state governments to undergo any kind of drug or alcohol screening at all? They're not required. I mean, you can be a lawyer and be hooked on cocaine or marijuana, whatever you want, and you can walk into that courtroom and talk to a judge. What's that?
I'm not so sure about doctors. Doctors, like my son's going to school to be a psychiatrist, and they have random drug testing done on doctors anyway in his field.
Well,
so
in that respects, It's the facility he works at or the facility that he's going to. They're the ones that require that. The government does not require it. That's the point I'm getting to. The government does not require it. Mm. So kind of like how if you were a truck driver.
I wonder if that's state by state, Ed. Do you know?
Well, I know the federal government doesn't require it. So here, in the truck driver, it's a federal law that all truck drivers have to undergo drug screening and a random drug testing, and that's a federal law. And that even if you have your own authority with your own truck, you still have to be part of a drug testing program. But if you are a doctor, if you are a doctor and you practice in whatever state it is, the federal government does not require you to take a drug test to be a doctor. Now, whether a state does or not, that's up to the state. And there might be some states that do, and there's a lot that don't, you know. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, just because – and the reason I thought of that was because of this case going on wherever it is in North Carolina where the – it was a lawyer who was hooked on cocaine and he murdered his family and then tried to kill himself or hired a guy to kill him. And all that and everything.
Right.
And come to find out, he's hooked on cocaine. He owes his bunch of money. His family is this huge, prestigious lawyer family that owns this big law firm. And he's been working for them for a real – he's like their Hunter Biden, you know, in that family. You know, he's hooked on drugs and he owes a lot of money to different people, bad people. And then he went crazy and killed his family, you know. So when I thought of that, I'm like you would think that the lawyers would sniff that out. That they would say, hey, there's a lawyer here hooked on drugs. He shouldn't be working as a lawyer. No, there's nothing requires anybody to do that. You know, so that's what I thought was weird. That you know, hey, you can be a lawyer, and as long as the company that you work for, so let's say you work for a law firm, they might have a testing program, but there's no government law that requires lawyers to be drug tested.
And
like there is
before we go off there, I just want to say. I sure didn't mean to get Greg all riled up.
Hey, that's good radio, buddy, right there. I'll tell you what, that's awesome. Yeah. No, I know.
You know, when you make random accusations about a group of truck drivers, you tend to alienate a few of the other truck drivers. I started out with a manual shift. I hear it. I see it on Facebook. People always running down automatic trucks. And I tell you what, I've had this in 2 years and I love it. I won't ever go back to stick shift. And far as safety wise goes for me, I think it's safer when I get in a tight situation of traffic or, construction, I don't have to worry about what gear I need to be in or how to get it down slow. All I got to do is worry about stopping and everybody around me.
Yeah.
So, well, I think,
yeah, I think he was going at
Greg's point with brand new drivers and that I totally understand that. I totally get that, but he didn't preface it that way when he started talking about that way. And that's one reason I said Greg is old school, and he appreciates his stick shift. More power to him, man.
Yeah, well, and you know, but I do agree with what he's saying is that they do have restrictions. There are states that have that where if you've trained on an automatic, there will be a restriction to say you can't drive a standard unless you've tested with.
But what's
standard.
Crazy about that? If I have to go back and get a driver's test now, and I go in with my automatic truck, and I get restricted that I can't drive a stick shift when I was trained on how to double clutch.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. We don't know how that works because the funny thing is that when's the last time you took a driving test, like for the state, for the government? Like
day
I've never,
one.
Day one. That was it. Ever since then, they've expected you to know how to drive a truck, you know? So, we've always said that drivers, that regular car drivers probably need to have regular driving tests, you know, because they might have passed that test when they were 16 or 17 years old, but, man, now that they're 35 years old, they forgot how to drive. You know, we say that all the time.
Oh, there's so many laws that I think should be written in the laws. You know, I don't think flip-flops ought to be allowed in a semi-truck behind a steering wheel. I don't believe in it's distraction texting going down the road. But nothing's ever said about people have their foot up on their dash. You know, that ought to be all part of it, you know, but there's no restrictions on that. And I tell you what, you get in a hot situation, you get your foot up on the dash, it just makes your reaction time to hit that brake, gain control of the truck is that much slower.
Yeah, and that's and just like you're saying with clothing and footwear, you know, a lot of people will say you shouldn't be driving in shorts, you know, because of certain things, especially if you drive in some type of like heavy machinery equipment or when you're doing that kind
right.
of stuff, because like those flatbedders, I don't know about you, but I've very rarely seen anybody pulling flatbed not wearing like a full on jeans, boots, long sleeve shirt or whatever all the time because of
the new young driver yeah. that works for some of them companies that make bonehead truckers every week. You see them in flip flops.
Yeah. But you know, the real flatbedders, the ones that you know that are doing a good job, they'll tell you right now, they're all, you know, like me, I remember when I first started and I, you know, my trainer was wearing shorts. Now he'd wear shoes. He actually had like work boots, but he would wear shorts a lot. And he was in California, and I just thought that's, you know, that was okay. But when you get down to like working, and when you know you need to be working a lot, and especially on older trucks where you might have to climb up under there every now and then you need to be ready for it at any time. You can't just
you can tell the difference between old school and new school. Old school, you don't see old school driving, you know, with flip flops and that.
Right. Right. Yep.
They know it's part of the safety gear, and really it is.
Yeah, yeah, especially shoes. You know, I mean, people even argue that tennis shoes shouldn't be worn, but I tell you what, you know, open-toed, anything like that, you know, ladies out there driving.
I mean, I know drivers that take their shoes off to drive, but as soon as they get out of the truck, part of their safety gear is shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that a lot, too. Yep, and I understand it because I mean, you know, you get going down the road for a certain amount of time and things kind of get uncomfortable, and it's like I don't necessarily want to stop, but I just got a toe that itches. You know, that's what you see a lot of times. You know, and you understand how that goes.
Get cramps. Yeah.
Yep, cramps. Yep. But I tell you what, stopping is way better than doing anything else. If you got to do something, you know, best thing to do is just stop.
Yep.
And take care of it.
You're right.
Because something will happen.
You're right.
Just like you're saying, something will happen. And even if you take your shoes off, you know, it's one of those things I always tell people, you doing something that doesn't necessarily mess you up. But what it does is it messes you up if somebody else does something. So if you decide,
right.
I'm gonna slip my shoes off and maybe, you know, reach down and scratch my ankle or something like that. And, you know, I'm going down the road, nothing happens, no big deal. And you're not going to make a mistake or anything like that, but somebody else is going to make a mistake causing you to not
right.
be in your shoes when you got to get out of the truck, you know, and you'll see that.
Anyway,
see that.
We're at the
yep.
end of the program here. I just wanted to put in 2 cents worth. And
no, that's
I
great.
Say, I good show tonight. Good audio, by the way.
Yeah, we only got it fixed. I finally got everything kind of tuned out where I can get things going again. You know, and I got a little, just, you know, I'm learning. It's working out pretty good.
Yeah, good audio, good show.
There you go.
To say hi to all my redneck and nice friends, I'm ready
there
for a show.
That, me too. We appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to tell everybody about that. Is that coming up in March? We got Mid-America Trekking Show, and that's happening. There is still a show set to happen in Searcy, Arkansas. It's the American Truckers Jubilee. Still set to happen in Searcy, Arkansas, right around Halloween. I think it's like October 30th, 31st, something like that. I think Halloween is Sunday
night.
Yeah? I do believe. So they're still planning on having that, as far as I know. It's just a small little thing being put on out there.
Is that on the World Wide Web? Can you find it?
It's on Facebook, American Truckers Jubilee. So you got to search that.
Okay, I'll look for
Facebook.
It. All
yeah.
right.
But, yep, that's about it right
Sounds
there.
Sounds good.
I think They said Taylor and what's the other guy's name? Bill Weaver and Taylor
Bill
Barker.
Weaver?
We're supposed to be appearing there at the American Truckers Jubilee in Searcy, Arkansas, October 30th.
So, that purple trucker song, was that Taylor?
No, that was Leland Martin.
Oh, I was Leland. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
I know I'd heard him.
There you
talked
go.
To
yep.
him, so good deal. All right.
All right, man.
Well, see you later.
All right, now, bud. Take care. We'll see you out there. Good deal.
You bet. Bye.
All right. So, yeah, we're just going to close it out for the night. We had a great little conversation there. Everything's working out great. And I hope everybody else is having a great night as well. Let me go down here and get stuff we got going here. Like I said, check it out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Really appreciate everybody doing that for us. Where am I at? There we are. Good deal. So we're just getting things going here. Wrap it up for the night. We hope everybody has a great night out there. Make sure you stay safe and successful and everything. Don't forget, like I said, check it out, redneckandeyes.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to thank all of our sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the Trucker Tools app, or the Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. Please check those guys out and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. And we're just going to have a great night out here tonight, and everybody stay safe and stay successful, and we'll see you out there on the road. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. You can't speak of Jesus, how dare he ever speak the truth. Southern red, white, and blue, till the day that I die.